Welcome into the first edition of the season of A Pickaxe to Grind, my all things Denver Nuggets podcast. Hello, everybody. I'm Brady Hold, host of The Whole Show, which airs 11 to 2 weekdays on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. This is a chance for me to really dial in, talk all things Nuggets, get that out there, because I'm telling you, we're going to be tracking another special season. Now, last year when I started this podcast, it was, I don't know, halfway through the season, I suppose, and we were ramping up our podcast stuff at KFKA, so when it came to that, we were like, okay, what would be the perfect podcast to start with? How about talking Denver Nuggets basketball? And it's fun. It is so much fun. They get the big win. I'm recording this on a Wednesday, October 25th, so they get the big win last night, which was on Tuesday. First game of the season, 119-107 over the Los Angeles Lakers. It was ring ceremony night. It was raising the banner night. And ultimately, it was beat the Lakers, you know, who's your daddy night for the Denver Nuggets. Let's break into a couple of interesting notes here. I got to start this the way it should always start when you're talking about the Nuggets. Nikola Jokic, I'm running out of things to say, and I know that sounds like a cliche. I'm getting tired of saying it, but honestly, so much is made of Nikola Jokic not touching a basketball much in the offseason, didn't really exercise, workout. I don't know if that's more of just the myth or the lure, the legend surrounding the Joker as much as it is really true. I mean, we saw all the videos and party stuff of him and, you know, all the horses and Aaron Gordon's hanging out, and those are great, but part of me thinks that, man, he's always done that. It's just now he's getting more popular where people are noticing him and they fire up those cell phones, they start videoing. But yeah, I think it's safe to say he's not one of those superstar guys that is going to kill you with 5 million training videos in the offseason, getting work in, doing all that. That's really not Nikola Jokic. He's just one of those, you know, those people, like those really annoying people that are just good at everything and it seems like they really don't have to try. Or those really fit people that hardly work out, and then you work out like a couple hours a day or an hour a day trying to just, you know, keep the fat off. Joker is like that when it comes to basketball. All you hear is, you know, basketball is not the greatest thing in the world. There are other things, and I'm spending time with my horses and hanging out with family and friends and just having a good time doing river dives and all the dancing, all of that. And yet comes out first game, 29 points, 13 rebounds, 11 assists. It is amazing how this happens. And every single game we see him play, I'm not exaggerating. It does feel like every single game we see him play, he's doing something better. He's amazing us in some different way. That's just not the case with anybody else. There's plenty of games where I look at a guy like Patrick Mahomes and I say, man, he dazzles us again. He's amazing. What, you know, he's awesome. But Nikola Jokic is seriously, like, to the point every game you just go, huh, wow, how did he do that? 29 points, 13 rebounds, 11 assists for him in 36 minutes of play. Pretty efficient night, 12 of 22. Had a stretch there where he went 1 of 8. But ultimately, Nikola Jokic just shows why he's probably going to be right there in the mix for another MVP. And you could be talking about 3 in 4 years. Should it, you know, we're always going to think of last year as the year that got away, but, you know, so far so good for the Joker. I think it's interesting too. The Nuggets were up 94-90 in that fourth quarter. Lakers are making a comeback. Joker comes in with like 2 minutes into the fourth, a little bit earlier, quite a bit earlier than he's supposed to come in the fourth. Most of the time it's going to be like midway through, but I think Michael Malone had seen enough, really wanted to win on ring ceremony night, really wanted to win on the banner raising thing. So he said Malone said, I'm going back to my horse. I'm getting my horse back in there. Just fitting for the Joker, right? Joker comes in, 94-90, drains a three, scored or assisted on the next 14 points. That is dominance. That is a superstar saying enough is enough. Let's put this thing to bed. And that's what happened. He's an elite player. I did have a good conversation on the whole show with DNVR Nuggets, Brendan Vogt, great guy. And we were both kind of talking about, does Joker really have a plan? Because when we think about Nikola Jokic, the way he's advertised to us in the media, the way he talks to the media, he's kind of used to be kind of goofy and would joke around a little bit. Now I'm starting to wonder if all of this is just a part of his like elaborate plan to lull people to sleep, and then he just goes off and does this thing. I saw him looking up at that banner. He smiled in the pictures, like ear to ear, with all their rings. It does matter to him. He did want to score that first bucket. He scored that first bucket. Anthony Davis got the first. He got a dunk for the Lakers. Nuggets get the next possession. They go down. Jamal Murray hits Joker, and Nikola Jokic kind of works around. Michael Porter Jr. was wide open at the top of the key. And Joker, normally I would say that's a given. If you have an open guy, he's definitely going to find him. Sometimes when they're not open, he finds him. No, instead, he takes Anthony Davis, a little floater, a little quick shot, gets it in. He made the first basket for the Nuggets on the season. That right there, I said, that meant something to him. Now, he'll tell you that, I'm just, whatever I think in the moment is the best opportunity for the ball to go in the hoop is what I'm going to do. Ah, man, no proof on this, but I can't help but look at that moment and think, you wanted to get the first bucket. You wanted to set the tone as the individual leader of this team. And that is a great thing. I have no issue with a uniquely motivated Nikola Jokic, whereas most of the time you just think he's the team's guy, and he is. He's a team guy. But I think there's more to it than that. And I think Joker does care about some of the things. Even though he doesn't say it, I think he does care about those things. Winning games is so important to him. He just wants to win, and I understand that. But I think sometimes there's the game within the game. And in that moment, I thought, yeah, he wants the first bucket. He wants to set the tone. He wants to start this thing off on his terms right off the bat. Beautiful night for him. Kind of just going through the starting lineup, Aaron Gordon, when he drives, when he's at the top or the corners or the wings, when he's driving to the rim, good things are going to happen. First quarter, drives in, gets a quick layup, and then he drives in a little bit later and finds a wide open Michael Porter Jr. coming in for a quick, easy dunk. Gordon has just grown into such a unique player for the Nuggets, and I think his career is kind of fascinating. You know, we were talking about Andre Iguodala, who just announced his retirement, a former Nugget for a cup of coffee for 1 year. And I always think that his career was interesting because when he was with Philadelphia, he was kind of the guy. He was, you know, kind of a semi-superstar type player. And then goes to Denver/Golden State, and he's kind of just part of the team. He's not the man. Aaron Gordon, when he played for the Magic, had a very similar start. He was kind of the man. He was the guy. Then he comes to Denver, and he's a part of the plan. He has really accepted and taken on that role so well. And I don't think he's like, you know, one of those guys that you don't talk about enough. I think we talk about him plenty. It's just I really find myself enjoying his game more and more, especially last year. He had a mission in his head. He knew what he needed to do in order to help Nikola Jokic and help this Nuggets team get to the next level, and he changed. He didn't just use his words to try to say all the right things. He came in and actually let his basketball and his actions speak. So 15 points for him, 7 boards. Jamal Murray was sharp. He 21 points, 6 assists. He and Joker definitely had that two-man game going that's so dangerous. They can do so many things with that pick and roll, pop out. They can dribble in, shoot it. They just have a chemistry that you just don't see with a lot of players. Justin Holiday, new to this team, said, you know, this group, specifically those two, Joker and Murray, it just feels like they've been playing together for so long. And yeah, it looked like it. They did not look rusty at all. 119 to 107. There was not a lot of rust for this team to shake off. 11 turnovers, and the Lakers had 11 turnovers too, but this team is just, they just got it. They look sharp. They look like they're in mid-season form. KCP was good, 20 points for him. Off the bench, this is where you're going to start getting into, all right, here's the concern. This is where we were last year. Then you got to the playoffs. You're very shallow with the bench. You only go with a guy like, you know, Christian Brown and Bruce Brown and Jeff Green. That was the bench. So I think that, you know, when you look at the bench unit now, there's going to be that same concern throughout the regular season. And then the hope is by the time you get to the playoffs, you are ready to take that next step with your bench unit. I hope it's not the case. I hope that we're not having this on a regular basis on this podcast talking about concerns with the bench unit. But I don't know. It's really going to come down to a guy like Christian Brown. Can Peyton Watson elevate his game quickly? Reggie Jackson played 24 minutes and had 8 points. He was fine. I still have my doubts that he's going to be a big part of what the Nuggets do down the road. I think as you see players emerge, that might change a little bit. And maybe one of those guys is Julian Strother, who did not play. I don't know if that had something to do with Malone just wanting to play the guys that won rings or what. I honestly, I don't know. But he made a point to bring that up, that Strother would be a big part of the plan this season. Zeke Nnaji, Peyton Watson, and then, of course, Christian Brown. Like, those guys are going to be tasked with really holding down the fort. And I thought they did a good job of that in that first stint with the bench. Their defense was flying all over the place. They were doing just enough to grow a lead. I think at one point got it up to an 18-point lead. Second stint wasn't as strong. Then you're seeing the overlapping of Jamal Murray in there too, with Jamal, Reggie Jackson, and Christian Brown, and then Zeke Nnaji and Peyton Watson. I will be interested to see how many times they really try to work that in, you know, with Jamal being a part of that unit where they stagger him a bit, pull him away from the starting group for a few minutes earlier and stack some of those minutes up with the back or with the bench. They'll probably do a lot of that. I don't think last night's going to give us a strong indication of what Malone's going to do with this bench unit. I think that's going to unfold over probably more so in the month of November. It's going to be a feeling out process at this stage, but so far, so good for the Nuggets. And how about on the Lakers side of things? Anthony Davis had 17 points, 6 of 17, 0 points in the second half. All this talk about Davis and LeBron having conversations about, you know, the Nuggets talking a lot and saying, oh, we get it, you won, but, you know, we keep the receipts and all that stuff. Well, for one night at least, the crowd was right. The Nuggets are, in fact, the Lakers' daddy, and That's a rivalry. That's always going to be a rivalry. You know, the Lakers have kept the Nuggets out of championship, at least finals appearances, several times. You know, Magic Johnson's Lakers did it. Kobe Bryant's Lakers did it. LeBron's Lakers did it. Not the case, really, anymore. So I'm really pumped about this one. How far can this team go? I think it looks like they got to be the front runner to win this thing. And we're basing this off of one game so far. They were top three, depending on who you ask, coming in. But that game last night shouldn't have changed any of that. This is a phenomenal basketball team that we're seeing. So highlights for me, I'm going to give you three things that stood out to me the most. And I'm going to go Nikola Jokic, triple-double. That's going to be there. He's probably going to be the number one of the three every single time. He is now sixth all time in triple doubles, so he's got one more to go to tie Jason Kidd. He's at 106. Jason Kidd is at 107. LeBron James is at 107. He will pass the 107 mark. He will pass Jason Kidd. We'll see what LeBron does with the rest of his career. I guess you could say the rest of his career. How many more triple doubles will LeBron have before he calls it quits? So he's still going to build on that. But you can be sure that Nikola Jokic will crack the top five. Magic Johnson sitting at 138. That is achievable this season. He's going to have to go off. You know, you need a lot of triple-doubles to beat out, to go over Magic Johnson this season. Oscar Robertson is going to take some more time at 181. couple of seasons. Same with Russell Westbrook, who is also still playing, sitting at the 198 mark. But that was number one. That thing stood out, that Joker just quickly picks up where he left off, back to being a triple-double machine. The other thing that stood out to me, because I'm keeping a close eye on this, and I'm going to say it's Michael Porter Jr. Now, I know he had that ankle sprain in the preseason, so he's still trying to feel things out. 12 points for him, 2 of 9 from the 3-point line, 5 of 13 overall. The good, the bad, the ugly with MPJ. He did do other things. He had 12 boards. He had the double-double. Defensively, I thought he had some really strong moments in the first quarter. That fizzled a bit. I think even on the offensive side, he ran into Gordon at one point when Gordon was going up for a shot, I think late in the second or third. It's like a last possession kind of thing. Porter at times last night kind of looked lost again. It reminded me early of when he started. But he had enough big moments where he is showing that he can be an all-around player. Malone was sure to praise him. I'm still watching him very closely. MPJ, big money guy. I want more. I definitely want to see more. Third thing that stood out is going to be a common theme here, and that is going to be the bench unit. What will the Nuggets do with that bench as they progress? Who will be the key contributor? Will it be Reggie Jackson, who had 8? He was the key contributor off the bench. Christian Brown brought the energy, brought the defense. Can he be more than that? We're talking about Michael Porter Jr. being more than a scorer, because he might need to if he doesn't find a shot regularly. But Christian Brown, who, you know, he was 2 of 5. He didn't have a lot of opportunities in 19 minutes. But I need to see if you can become more of an offensive threat, or are you just a high-energy defensive guy that's going to get rebounds? The bench certainly has me a bit concerned about where we were last year at this time. I didn't expect it to be fixed. You're replacing Bruce Brown, so obviously that bench is going to get weaker. But who's going to step up? Is Zeke Nagy, who just signed an extension with Denver, going to be that guy? Is Peyton Watson going to start getting to the point where he's becoming a bigger name? So I think there's guys that are capable of it. We just have to see it. So those are my three things that stood out to me. I like to bunch things up into threes. I'm a big three guy. I don't know why. So Nikola Jokic, triple-double machine. Michael Porter Jr., who are you as a player? And the bench unit, who's going to step up? Who's going to be that guy? I don't foresee it being Reggie Jackson on a daily basis, or on a nightly basis, I should say. All right, now it's time for What's Up Next. I do this podcast every Wednesday, so I'm going to highlight the games coming up between today and next Wednesday. So we look at it. You took care of the Lakers last night, 119 to 107, 1-0, well done. Now you go on the road, getting set to take on a Memphis team that, with their Ja Morant stuff, that's not really a threat as far as a team that should give the Nuggets fit in the playoffs. But I do got to give a shout out to my boy, David Roddy, former Colorado State Ram. Always root for that guy. Just not really rooting for him when they go up against the Nuggets. So they're at Memphis on Friday at 5:00. So fairly early game. Speaking of early, Sunday, conundrum time. Nuggets are at Oklahoma City. That is a 1:30 tip off. The Broncos play at 2:25. So I'll be doing some channel flipping there. At OKC, a young up-and-coming team. So we'll see if that team can give the Nuggets some fits on that side of things. So that game is at 1:30 on Sunday. Monday, they got a back-to-back here. Home again, back to Ball Arena, going up against the Utah Jazz. That game is at 7 o'clock. And then Wednesday night, we won't have anything to really talk about, but that is at Minnesota. So Memphis, OKC, Utah, and Minnesota, all coming up next for the Nuggets. Can the Nuggets do what the Avs are doing and start their season off hot? I think the Avs are sitting at 7-0 right now? So can the Nuggets do that? That's what Calvin Booth wants to see. That's what Michael Malone wants to see, is the Nuggets pulling off a bunch of these different stretches where they are winning 10 games in a row, 12 games in a row, and then you lose a game or two, then you do it again. He wants to see multiple winning streaks, multiple big-time winning streaks. The Avs are 6-0, by the way. Corrected myself. All right, that's going to do it. First job, first mission accomplished. Get the rings, get the banner, put it behind you. More importantly, get the win. they do that. They're sitting at 1-0. I'm excited about this team. I see no reason why they don't repeat as champs. Easier said than done when we get into the meat of the season. But if you can put together a nice October/November, you're going to make a lot of people feel really good about the chances of the Denver Nuggets repeating, getting the back-to-back championships, and getting closer to that dynasty talk. This has been a Pickaxe to Grind. Tune into the whole show regularly Monday through Friday on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. We are weekdays 11 to 2. You can always check us out at our podcast at thewholeshow.com, 1310kfka.com, or wherever you download your podcast. That'll do it for us. It's been another edition of A Pickaxe to Grind. Let's get after it, Nuggets. Another big week coming up for the Mile High crew. We'll talk at you next week.